Today on the Pastor's Study, the title of our discussion today is Necessity for Salvation. Necessity for Salvation. And we'll begin in just a moment, but let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we're very grateful to have this opportunity to open up thy very words as we find them preserved, perfect, inerrant, inspired in your King James Bible. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take your very words and minister to each of us as individuals as only you can. Father, we pray your blessing upon this study, Lord. We pray for the lost sinner that may be listening, that's never, ever called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, that they've never repented of their sins and are trusting only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. Oh God, we pray that this would be the very day for that lost soul to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, we just commit this time into thy hands, and we ask all of these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, before I begin, I want to say it's been a blessing to be on, to have the pastor study continuing. We're going into our eighth season, believe it or not, already. And I appreciate the good folks at WGCR that run the radio station, and Pastor Barton and his family, and for all of you who faithfully listen and support this station. If the pastor study has been a blessing to you, and you would like to see it continue and help support it, then I just ask you to send whatever you can to WGCR directly and say this is in support of the pastor study. I would really appreciate that, and that would be a blessing, and I thank you very much. Now let's look at our lesson today, Necessity for Salvation. Most lost people have the attitude, why do I have to be born again? I live as good as most Christians. I don't smoke, drink, curse, steal, and have never killed anyone. How can so-called Christians live like everyone else sometimes and still go to heaven? What makes saved people different from unsaved people? Maybe you've run up against this attitude when you've tried to witness to Christ, for Christ to someone. Now, all of these are valid questions and deserve an answer from an infallible source, God's Word, the Bible. And I've said it many times, when I say the Bible, the Holy Bible, I mean the King James Bible. That's where God has preserved his inspired, his inerrant, infallible words. So the Bible is the only book on the face of the earth that has accurately prophesied over 300 events that took place exactly as predicted. So with that record of infallibility, in the odds of several trillion to one in our favor, we are confident in using God's book as our source of information. We will use it as a final authority on the fall of man, the necessity for, and the way to salvation, as well as why Christians are different. By now, you should have a good understanding of the Trinity. So with that knowledge, let us look a little deeper into the spirit of man. As you will recall, Adam was originally created in God's image. Amen? We're told that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. But something happened. Adam and Eve were told that they would die if they disobeyed God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And they did die, first spiritually, and then later physically. Consequently, all born after the fall of Adam and Eve were born in the image of Adam with a dead spirit instead of in the image of God with a live spirit. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's read together. Wherefore, as by one man, and that one man in the context is Adam, wherefore as by one man, what entered the world? Sin entered into the world. Not only sin, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Another verse of scripture comes to mind, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So sin brought death along with it, amen. We are all born dead spiritually. You see, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3, he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. Can't even recognize it, amen. And then Jesus continues in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 5, and says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, physical birth, and of the Spirit, capital S, born of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So except you're born again, you cannot even see it, the kingdom of God, or enter it, amen. We are all born of the flesh, the natural or water birth. But you must be born of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, also, if you want to go to heaven. In John chapter 3 again, verse 6, explains that the new birth required is not one of the flesh, water, but of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 6, we read, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. They are two different things. See? You need the spiritual rebirth. Once you are born again by the Holy Ghost, you then regain the image of God, see, that was lost when Adam fell. See? Originally, Adam started out, God made him in the image of himself. When he sinned, he lost that image. Then all of us that were born after Adam, amen, were born in the image of sinful Adam. So how do we retain the image of God? The new birth. That's how you regain the image of God. Look in Colossians chapter 3 with me. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we want to look at verse 10 together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man. See? The new man. The part of you that's been born again. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See? Renewed. We regain the image of God once you're born again. Also, once saved, the Spirit is quickened and made alive again. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. We read, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Then the saved person's spirit is now joined or become one with the Spirit of God. Look at what we read. We see here in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what? Is one spirit. Amen. So the newborn child of God becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. He now has a live spirit in a body that is dead to sin. We need to see what Paul wrote to the Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 with me. In Romans chapter 6, first in verse 6, knowing this, we can know this, Paul is saying, knowing this, that our old man, that's the flesh, the sinful flesh, is crucified with him. And why is it crucified with him, with Christ? That the body of sin might be destroyed. And then henceforth, as a result, we should not serve sin. See? We should not serve sin. So you and I now, as Christians, have the power to overcome sin in our life and not serve it. Look at in verse 11 of Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also, in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, Romans 8, verse 10, we read, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Isn't that wild? Think about it. You are born with a dead spirit in a live body. But after you are born again, you have a live spirit in a dead body. A body dead to sin. In other words, my friend, you have swapped a lifetime of sin for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There has never, ever been a better deal than that since time began. Amen and amen. Now imagine, the soul is saved. The soul is saved. The spirit is born again. And now the body awaits the day of redemption. What does all of this mean? Since the body was not healed and made perfect at salvation, it will be redeemed when the Lord comes back for his people at the rapture. At that time, those saved will receive a new body that is perfect. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 together. Philippians chapter 3. It's not over yet, folks. If you're saved, you got a great, great future ahead of you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who? The who in this verse is Jesus Christ. Who shall change? Notice the word that Paul uses to describe the human body, the flesh. Who shall change our vile body? It's a pretty strong word, vile. That's what your body and my body is. It's vile. It's wicked. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? See? Our body's going to be changed unto a body, the resurrected body that Christ has. See? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 2. John writes, Apostle John, beloved, now, he's saying right now, present tense, Now are we the sons of God, right now. So you don't have to wait till you die to find out if you're saved or not. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. John the Apostle uses that word know a lot. That we can know right now. What can we know? We know that when he shall appear, Christ shall appear, we, that's all those that have been born again, all the saints of God, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. See? And then look at Psalm 17. Psalm 17 with me and verse 15. Psalm 17, 15. As for me, David's writing this now, King David. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So David knew, amen, that he would be receiving a new body. Amen. This is written prophetically, like Christ. You and I as believers are going to receive new glorified bodies like Christ's body, his resurrected body. These are the things that make the Christian different. Christians are not perfect, my friend, but they are forgiven. They wear the righteousness of the only perfect one who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect. You know, some people act today like they are perfect. Amen. But Jesus Christ, my friend, is the only one who lived a perfect life, who was without sin. See? Now the question is this. Have you ever been born again? If not, stop and ask yourself why. Is it worth the risk to put it off, my friend? The Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. Gift of God is eternal life. Who? Not through Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, no, or anyone for that matter. It's only God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I like about the Bible. When it comes to salvation, there's no wiggle room, as they say today. It's very clear. There's only one way, through Jesus Christ. As Paul and Silas said to that Philippian jailer when he asked him, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They didn't tell him that he had to memorize the whole Bible, had to say this prayer or that prayer, had to do this or do that. They said simply to that Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. You see, my dear friend listening today, it's free. It's easy. Then why on earth would you refuse so wonderful a gift? Especially when the only other option is to die in your sins and suffer eternal punishment and separation from the God that created you. See, the devil wants you to delay. Amen. He wants you to put it off. I'll do it another time. I don't want to get saved today. I don't, for some reason or another. It's the devil that wants you to delay, because he doesn't want you to spend time in eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he wants you to spend time in eternity with him in that lake of fire. But if you've never been born again, amen, you need to be born again. You need to settle it now. You need to settle it now. What do I mean? Well, first of all, realize that you are a sinner, born with a sinful nature, because of what Adam and Eve did. And that God provided a way for you to redeem yourself. Realize it's free. However, you must ask for the gift to receive it. Remember we said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You have to receive a gift. Amen. Receive it. Realize it's free. Amen. However, you must ask for the gift to receive it. After you realize, repent now. Repent now. Admit to God that you are a lost sinner. In the best way you know how, in your heart, turn away from that sin and seek forgiveness and the free gift of salvation God provided through Christ. If you've never done it, do it now. Receive Jesus Christ. What do I mean by receive? How do I receive Jesus Christ? Well, you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth in prayer that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead, and that this sacrifice alone is full and complete payment for your sins. Tell him this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner in need of salvation, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that his blood alone is full payment for my sins. So I now receive Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. My friend listening today, won't you do it now? Oh, the angels in heaven will be rejoicing. My friend, if you've called upon the name of the Lord today, would you drop me a line and let me know? Brother Gino, I've been born again, so I can shout and praise God. Well, my dear friends, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.